imagine you have like about 120 mosquito bites on your arm and you're just like looking at it and you're feeling, oh my God.
I cannot begin to describe how much I want to itch this arm. I want to itch you. Oh, this is taking something else to keep me from just digging in there.
Scratch.
Why does a scratch work? Why does an itch make your nerves do things that no other sensation does? Well, it's very, very familiar to everyone. We all know what an itch is. We know what a scratch is, but we don't know what they do. Glenn Geisler joins us now. He's a neuroscience professor at the University of Minnesota. Glenn, thanks so much for being with us.
You're welcome. Happy to be here.
Yeah, you are talking to us about science, recently published science, that begins to explain the very familiar itch in terms of some science that's actually been mysterious for quite a long time. Number one, what is an itch, neurologically speaking?
Well, itch is defined and has been as an unpleasant sensation that makes us want to scratch. So it's a very simple definition, and I think we'd all see the utility of that. Several groups have started looking at how information begins in the peripheral nervous system, in peripheral nerves, and how the information is coded there and then brought into the spinal cord. And we're looking at the information, how it's transmitted within the spinal cord and sent from the spinal cord to the brain and ultimately to consciousness.
Now, itches are very, very tangible. I mean, people have a sense that there's something under their skin wandering around. In the case of something like Hodgkin's disease, itching is a very, very serious symptom that is incredibly debilitating. The tangibility of the itch sensation is actually at odds with what's going on with the neurons, correct?
Well, itch is a distinct sensation, and it causes a strong urge to scratch. And what we found is that the neurons in the central nervous system and others have found in the peripheral nervous system, including a group at Johns Hopkins led by Matthias Ringkamp, have found that actually many of the nerves in the peripheral nerves carry information both about pain and itch. And we found the same thing in the neurons in the spinal cord that convey this information to the brain and consciousness, also carry information about pain. So it's kind of a multiplex system carrying at least two types of information, probably about temperature. But even though these same nerves are carrying several types of information, it is a very distinct sensation. And in the disease you mentioned, Hodgkin's disease and other diseases, AIDS and many others, probably more than 50, it's often very difficult to treat. There are some problems, infestations, mosquito bites, as you mentioned in the lead-in, release histamine in the skin. And so taking antihistamines like Benadryl can be very helpful in relieving the itch.
Now, what's the difference between an itch that actually is happening on your skin, like a mosquito bite, and something that may be more generalized, say your hand gets really, really cold and gets numb, and as it comes back from being asleep, there's an itching sensation that actually there's no evidence on the skin of anything going on?
It's hard to answer so many questions about itch. It's undoubtedly the least well-understood sensation. There are hundreds of, for example, from the National Institutes of Health, hundreds of grants to support research on vision and hearing and pain, but there are at the moment four to support research on itch, and so the progress has been very, very slow. So we don't really know how these diseases cause itch body-wide. Itch. We know it can be a huge problem that's very difficult to treat. And one example that is, I think, very a sad example is that people who are in terminal cancer pain often have to take a lot of morphine or its derivatives, opiates, and they have to take so much to combat the pain that the morphine starts producing itch. And this can't be treated, and so many of the patients elect to take less morphine, endure more chronic, intractable pain to relieve the itch.
That
so
is
this is a huge
sad.
Problem.
Why does a scratch work insofar as it does? And there's plenty of evidence that certain scratches are actually wrong or a bad idea.
Right, but certainly scratching is thought to be part of, a vestige of grooming behavior and relieving infestations on the skin, etc. So part of scratching is useful. With the diseases, we see no clear purpose for scratching, and it can be quite destructive. We've begun to look at how scratching inhibits itch. We all know from personal experience that it's effective, that, and we've known for, you know, since people began, that scratching and animals as well relieves itch. But when we began a few years ago, we looked at neurons in the spinal cord and found neurons that carry the information about itch. And so we turned back to those to look at the effects of scratching on those as a logical place to begin. And lo and behold, what we found is that when we scratch the skin before we cause itch, and in this case, we were causing itch by injecting histamine into the skin, so kind of mirroring the effect of, for example, a mosquito bite that releases histamine in the skin, we were injecting it, since applying mosquitoes is a tricky stimulus. We injected the histamine. And what we found is when we scratched the skin before we injected the histamine, the scratch excited the neurons. These neurons carry information about pain, as I said, and scratching is a form of painful stimulation. In fact, we scratch, our hands are available and our fingernails, but other kinds of painful stimuli inhibit itch just as well. It could be a very hot stimulus, a very cold stimulus. Even injection of the active ingredient in chili peppers, capsaicin, can block itch. Huh. So we found that it was excitatory. And we also found that if we injected capsaicin, this pain agent, that
hot
would
sauce.
Excite.
Hot sauce, right.
If we inject it into the skin, which I don't recommend, then that produces pain, and that excites these neurons too. And when we scratched during these responses, the responses were heightened. But when we injected histamine and the cells were responding to that, the same stimulus, the identical stimulus, scratch, caused the neurons to fire less. It inhibited them, and it inhibited them for about the same period of time that scratching relieves itch. Hmm. So we think then that we scratch really to turn off these neurons in the spinal cord.
Finally, is it easy to find itchy and scratchy people there at the University of Minnesota to come into your experimental lab?
Well, we do experiments on animals. We do animal research. My colleague at Yale, Robert Lamott, does a lot of experiments on people, but he induces the itch with histamine and other agents. There are good
models. How much do you pay to make somebody miserable for a couple hours?
I'm not really sure. I would think $50 or so would do it.
Sure.
These are undergraduates who can use some spending money.
I love it. Oh, very responsible scientist there. Well, it's great science. It's an interesting sort of use of experimental method to discover something that I actually didn't even realize was a mystery. Glenn Geisler, thanks for joining us.
You're quite welcome.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.